Well, while they're leaving the pulpit, let's give them a round of applause for a great evening of worship. Great job. Well, I see a couple more people filtered in from when we started, so that's a good sign. That means more people are coming in and people aren't leaving. All right, let's fire it up. All right. The last time I spoke at a contemporary service, the biggest thing I reflected upon was, well, I went way too long. So we're trying to get, I'm so excited once I picked the topic, I'm so excited and all these ideas just kept flowing into my mind and I'm trying to organize them and coordinate them. I tried to get it the best way possible, so put on your seatbelts, you're going to get thrown some scripture, you're going to get thrown some ideas. Hopefully you're going to get thrown some new ways of thinking about your own personal life and your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So hang on to your hats. Here we go. The message is on the perfect blend. So, of course, I know it's probably overdone by now, but what I wanted to start off doing is the definition of the word blend. The first definition of the word blend is to combine or associate so that the separate constituents or the line of demarcation cannot be distinguished. There you have it. And then the second definition correlates almost to the first, to mix smoothly and inseparably together. If we look at a combination of both of those definitions, we can see the separate constituents cannot be distinguished. That's the whole purpose and definition of a blend. They're inseparable. Once you have a blend, they are inseparable. Now, go into examples of some blends. We have some musical harmonic blends, as we heard tonight, when you have different instruments, when you have different voices singing different parts, when there's harmony and melody involved, and you have a musical blend. You can't separate the sound waves that the human ear cannot separate those. That's called a musical blend. They blend together and form sound. The next example, mixes. Food recipes. Anybody in here a baker? I'm not saying a cook. I'm saying a baker who likes to do desserts. Bob's raising his hand high. Actually, one of the definitions that I saw in a dictionary used the word concoction. So that word came to mind when I put this up there. A lot of people make concoctions. But once you throw those ingredients into the bowl and you blend it together and you cook it in the oven, once the final product comes out, you can't physically, they're inseparable. You can't take the eggs back out. You can't take the sugar back out. But a lot of times you can taste if someone put too much salt in the recipe, huh? So mixes, food recipes. The next example is color blends. Now, Crayola has the market on these. I'm going to stick to the primary colors, okay? The primary colors, blue and yellow make green, red and yellow make orange, blue and red make purple. Now, like I said, there's millions of variations off of these color blends. But if we look at just the primary colors make up all the color blends. You can have blue, green, green, blue, turquoise, whatever else Crayola wants to name their crayons, that's the color blends you have. It's countless. But once you have purple, you can't pull the other colors back out. They're inseparable. Now, I'm going to add one to the bottom. Black. Black plus anything equals black. It can't be blended. If you have a tub of black paint, whatever other color you put into it, you're going to get black. Okay? I just wanted to throw that up there because we're going to come back to that a little bit later on, so I want to see if you're paying attention. Now, I want to concentrate defining what things, making a perfect blend, I want to concentrate and look at things that don't blend. Okay? Let's look at things that don't blend. Two immovable objects. Now, I'm going to give an example of an immovable object. Say a tree and a boulder. Two immovable objects. They can't physically be blended. And good thing Ronnie Dornan's not here because Ronnie Dornan sitting at a table eating a Subway sandwich, he's an immovable object. Okay? Two immovable objects. You can have a tree growing on a boulder or a bed of rock, but they can't be blended. They're immovable. They just can't physically be blended due to their attributes. The next example, oil and water. For anybody who has changed the oil on their car themselves and you go to hose out the pan after you're done, it doesn't work. Oil and water physically don't mix. Okay? The last example, light and darkness. What's the definition of darkness? The definition of darkness is the absence of light. As soon as you put one ray of light, as soon as you put one inkling of light into a dark room, you no longer have darkness. It turns immediately into light. Okay? They don't blend. There is no gray area there. There's light and then there's darkness. They don't blend. Now, what I would like to do is, since I have a physical blender here, I'm just going to prove a point to the middle one. Okay? So bear with me. We got a grade A blender here. We got pure church tap water. This isn't holy water. This is right out of the tap. All right. A little leaky. Now, what we have oil-wise, I didn't use vegetable oil. I didn't use canola oil. I didn't use olive oil. We got genuine grade A 10W30 motor oil. And I am going to make smoothies with this blender a little later, so if anybody wants to try it, go right ahead. What happens? As you can see the different colors, the oil stays on top. Now, I'm going to blend this together. Does anybody know what's going to happen? Is the oil going to break down and are they going to blend? All right. We'll leave it sit there a second. After about 5 minutes, the oil is still going to stay at the top. Two things that can't be blended. If you try to blend them, they will not blend. You got to remember that. Two things that are not meant to be blended, you can't try, you won't succeed in blending them. So now what I want to do is go into Scripture, see what Scripture says can't be blended. And we're going to turn to the book of Galatians. Now Galatians, the passage we're using tonight is pretty much Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and we're going to break it down into different passages. Okay? Galatians was written by Paul. Now, Paul wrote many books of the New Testament. Galatians was written, experts say, between 49 and 52 A.D. Okay? It was the second earliest book that Paul wrote. Okay? What the only one they considered earlier was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But all of Paul's other writings are after Galatians. So think about that. 49 to 52 A.D. A.D. means after the birth of Christ. So if Jesus, through most experts' opinion, now you can start seeing the oil. Jesus, through most experts' opinion, lived to be 33. So let's say Paul wrote it in 49 A.D. minus 33, that's 17 years. Only 17 years went by whenever the recordance of those of what was happening was written. Okay, think about that today, the year 2010. Something that happened in your life 17 years ago, 1993, 1994. Okay? For those of you that know me that heard my testimony, okay, something pretty significant in my life happened 17 years ago. 1993 was when I officially dedicated my life to Christ. Okay, and a year later, it got severely tested when I severely broke my leg. Those are two occurrences that are fresh in my mind. I can detail you the day I broke my leg, the day I wasn't Christ-like, and I can tell you everything about that day. So 17 years is not that long. So when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, everything was fresh in his mind. He went through the Christ crucifixion and the ascension and the commissioning of the disciples. Okay, he lived through that, so it was fresh in his mind. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Raise your hand if you went through the Truth Project. If you went through the Truth Project, Dale Tackett, the leader of the Truth Project, hit these verses pretty hard. He had a pretty lengthy dissertation breaking these down. I'm going to do the simple form. There's two components in this verse. The Spirit and the sinful nature. There's two components. Things that don't blend. We have the Spirit versus the sinful nature. This sinful nature, we were born into sin. When we don't know who Jesus Christ is, when we haven't accepted Him yet, we have this sinful nature that is opposing the Spirit. Their desires are contrary. Desires, what you want. It's what you earn, what really floats your boat, what you drive towards. Your desires are contrary, meaning they're heading in different directions. They're in disagreement with one another. The other thing is they're in conflict. Not only are they in disagreement, they're butting heads. Anytime you have things that are butting heads in disagreement and heading the other direction, there's wars going on. Okay? These things are not going to blend. You can't have them blend. They're going to stay separate. You can try to blend them. It's not going to blend. Now, let's look at what going on in the passage in verse 19. We're going to look at what the sinful nature is. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That previous screen, is that stuff that we do? Yeah. But that right there, it says, who live like this. The interpretation of that through the translation is that's your lifestyle. That is your lifestyle. That's not one or twice a day or a couple times a week you do these things, because we are sinful. But that's a lifestyle. That is before the cleansing of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, I want to pinpoint something on the previous screen. The English language has different types of punctuation. In this scripture, the punctuation, as you can see, commas are used except for three areas. There's semicolons. The semicolon means boom. It's not just listing things. It's a change of thought. Okay, so these are actually separated into four different classifications of sin. The first is we have sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Debauchery is pretty much an extensive sensuality, going overboard, okay? So, those are classified as the sexual sins. Okay, the second group, idolatry, witchcraft. I think a lot of us we suffer from idolatry and we don't even know it. We put our emphasis on things other than God at times in our life. Idolatry and witchcraft. It's basically the first two of the Ten Commandments. Concentrates on idolatry, witchcraft. Those are called the religious sins. Now, the next one is the big one. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy. Can we go through a day? A day without one of those happening? No. Those are social sins. We can't do this by ourselves, can we? We need at least another person involved. Finally, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's the last group, drinking sins. So they were separated by semicolons, meaning I want emphasis on these different groups of sins. So that's defining the sinful nature. Now let's go back to the color black from earlier. The color black equals the absence of color. Black means there is no color. White light is pretty much all color. Okay? Black is the absence of color. It can't be blended because there's nothing there. The sinful nature is the absence of Jesus, the absence of the Holy Spirit. Thus, it can't be blended. There's nothing there. there's nothing there to blend. Now that we did a little history on things that don't blend, let's look at things that do blend. Repented souls and the Holy Spirit. So things that don't blend are your sinful nature and the Spirit. Now we're looking at the Holy Spirit and repented souls. So what's the difference between sinful nature and repented souls? A repented soul is one who accepts Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, repenting of their previous sinful nature and acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for his or her sins. The key thing there is repenting. I've heard many, many people say they've prayed the prayer, they've accepted Jesus Christ, but yet they're in the same lifestyle. They didn't repent. Repent is turn 180 degrees and change your lifestyle. Get rid of that sinful nature. Repenting of their previous sinful nature. In Acts 2, and we're going to go through Acts pretty readily right now with a lot of different scripture. Acts is great. Acts is great for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. After the ascension of Jesus Christ, what was commissioned through everybody? The Holy Spirit here on this earth. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If we repent, we are going to start being blended with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." Acts 7:55, "But Stephen," say it, "full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Later in Acts, in chapter 13, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul," what? "Filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said," some crucial men in history, it comes out and says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They lived through it. They filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:24, "He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord." Does anybody know who that was? Without looking it up. That was Barnabas. That was Barnabas in Antioch, whenever Paul was there. He came. "Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Them refers to the people of Samaria. Now, don't get confused. There was a large land region called Samaria. But there was also a small city called Samaria, and I think that's what this, in the footnotes, that references. It doesn't say how many. There was a large group there. People of Samaria received the Holy Spirit. While Peter, in chapter 10, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Once again, it was a group of people, and to our surprise, it wasn't the Jews. This time, Peter was talking to the Gentiles, and ladies and gentlemen, that's us. He was talking to the Gentiles. They heard Peter's words, they accepted Jesus Christ, and they became filled with the Holy Spirit. So, repented souls and the Holy Spirit. There's a blend there. They can be blended. The next thing, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to stand up here and sing that song that we learned in Sunday school. You don't want to hear me sing, okay? So we're going to go to Scripture. Continuing in chapter 5 of Galatians. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, I want to concentrate on one thing. That's a whole other sermon, is going through the fruit. What I want to concentrate on, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is." It does not say the fruits of the Spirit are. It's a singular. The fruit of the Spirit is. Meaning this is a package deal, folks. You can't just pick and choose what fruit of the Spirit you want to live by. If you choose to live by the fruit of the Spirit, you're living by everything. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have max capacity of all those things, because we can't. We still sin. But we can do our darndest to get as much as we can out of all of those. We can't leave any of those out. It's a package deal. The fruit is, not the fruits are. We can't pick and choose. When we're become filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the package. It's there. Now, we looked at what blends, what doesn't blend. We looked at what does blend. Now I want to concentrate on making your blend perfect. Creation of your blend. Creation of your blend. When you accept Jesus Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, your blend is created. Okay? Your blend is created. Going through my Sunday school class, we had a whole series from Dr. David Jeremiah, and one of his examples, he said a little boy was up in his room one night. He had just fallen asleep, and his mother was downstairs, and she heard a big thunk on the floor. He had fallen out of bed. So the mother went running up to the little boy and said, "Honey, why'd you fall out of bed?" And the little boy responded, "Well, Mama, I guess I fell asleep too close to where I got in." Sadly to say, a lot of Christians fall asleep really close to where they went in. Okay? There's a creation. Satan is just waiting, man. He is waiting to attack those new believers. We need to create the blend and get it going. Okay? That's the perfect time. And we are so of the world that we cannot be perfect right away. Okay? We are going to have our moments where we start indulging in back in some of our previous sinful nature. But now that we have the Holy Spirit within us, okay, our slate is wiped clean. Okay, the race isn't over. The race is just starting. We're at the starting line. We're at the start of what God wants us to do. The Holy Spirit is the main ingredient. Whenever you cook or you go to culinary school, they teach you there's always a main ingredient. A main ingredient means that it's mostly the overpowering ingredient. No matter what else you put into the mixture or the blend, the main ingredient is still going to overpower everything. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the main ingredient. When we create it, the Holy Spirit is there. In Titus 2:12, it says it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It refers to God's grace. Through God's grace, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We say no to the ungodliness. That's our habit. We need to instinctively say no. The second, after the creation of your blend, don't fall asleep. After the creation, the composition of your blend. The composition of your blend. This is all the stuff you start throwing into the blender with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I'll tell you, the majority of the stuff you throw in with the Holy Spirit, like I said a little earlier, is not pretty stuff. It's stuff that we're still sinning. All that gets thrown into the blender with the Holy Spirit. Okay? But what we need to do is we can't stop that because we're not perfect. We can't stop that. We need to start minimizing all that outside junk that's getting in. We need to concentrate on the composition. In Galatians, moving on, 24-25, it says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature," meaning it's gone. We wipe the slate clean, it's gone, "with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And when you keep in step with something, you're side by side with it, meaning you're going along with it, you're in parallel. Composition. Amongst all the junk that's being thrown in there, here's a list of what we need to throw in there. We need to throw worship in there. We need to throw prayer in there. We need to throw the study of God's Word in there. Oops, I didn't say reading God's Word. I said studying God's Word. I know people who've read the Bible to say they've read it. You read the Bible to become better acquainted with God. You read the Bible to learn. You don't read the Bible just to learn. You need to study and meditate on God's Word. He has great meaning in that book. In here is a purpose for you. He has a plan for you in this book. Study God's Word and living with the fruit of the Spirit. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But the more of that stuff we keep throwing in with mixing with the Holy Spirit, and even with the outside junk coming in, it starts getting blended. If you have more of the other composition in there, it's going to start overpowering some of the other stuff. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. James 2:17. That's just to reinforce. Once we accept Christ, we just can't say, hey, we said the prayer, we're done. It comes right out and says, if you repent and are filled with the Holy Spirit, if your faith is not accompanied by action, it's dead. Satan won. Composition of your blend. Worship, prayer, study of God's Word, living with the fruit of the Spirit. Thirdly, consistency of your blend. This is the most important. You can create your blend. You can even throw in some chunks and get some of your Sunday school time and study of God's Word in there. But you need that consistency. The more consistent your blend comes, the less you can start picking out some of the other things. Meaning, the faster it blends, the more consistent it becomes. You can't start picking things out. Okay? You can't do it. The more consistent, the stronger it becomes, the harder it is to start pulling these things back out. 1 Peter 1, 15-16, it says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Not just some of the things we do. We need to be holy in all things we do. And when we do that consistency, we have no separation from the Holy Spirit. There's none. Okay? Some people put their composition in. And I want to thank my youngest daughter, Taya, for letting me borrow this. Okay? There's some stuff in there. Okay? Some people's Christian lives, their blends are like this. They just start tossing stuff in. It's not really getting blended. They're not blending anything with the Holy Spirit. They're just, oh, well, I'm going to go to a party, so I'm going to take worship out. I'm going to hang out with my friends I really shouldn't be hanging out with. I'm going to take study of God's Word out. And then all of a sudden, they have nothing left in their blender. If you don't consistently blend what you have, you're going to get no separation from the Holy Spirit. You're going to have automatic responses. When you're put in certain situations that you don't have time to think about what's the proper thing to say, what's the politically correct thing to say, you just automatically respond. When your consistency is at a level, the Holy Spirit is going to flow from your lips. People are going to say, wow, I wish I could respond like that. I can tell that person is who he is because of what he knows, the relationship he has with Jesus Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit because of what he just said or did. It's automatic responses that you have no control over. It just comes out. The more consistent your blend is, the more that's going to show, the more that's going to reflect on others, and no more chunks. You're not going to be able to take things out. You're not going to want to take the chunks out. You're going to want them all blended in there. Okay, you don't want to separate who you are. You are who you are. Your consistency is important. The closing points. Everyone's blend is different. God didn't make any of us the same. Some of us don't have a blend. Some of us just started our blend. Some of us are still sort of putting things into our blender. And some of us are it's on high and it's really getting going. But most of the time when someone's on high and it's really going, there's going to be a point in their life where it either stops or goes right down to slow again. There are going to be times like that. Those are the times we need to get back into God's Word, rely on the Holy Spirit, and know that we can start being consistent again. Everyone's blend is different. No one's is going to be the same. The second point, do not judge others' blends. And this is the last section in Galatians 5. 5:26, it says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The last thing he wants us to do is go up to someone and says, man, I'm better than you. You're not better than them. We can't judge others. Because if we look at our blend, I'm sure you can make your blend a whole lot better. The third point, prioritize your blend. And this one's sort of the most important one in the closing points. If you don't prioritize your blend, we went through the whole cantata this morning, and it really emphasized, you know, God made this world. God made who we are, and He had His plan. He had His perfect plan. He sent Jesus, God in the flesh, to this earth, sacrificed Him for us. He has a plan for us. If we don't prioritize that in our life and prioritize the blend, get everything in there consistent so that it's overflowing, it goes to others. Those of us with children, it goes to the children. Those with family and friends that are unsaved, it goes over to them. We need to prioritize our own blend. Some of us have the blender off. Some of us have it on a slow spin. And some of us are just overloading it with junk. If you overload it with junk, what happens to a blender when you overload it? It doesn't spin anymore. We need to minimize the junk. Prioritize your blend. God prioritized His Son Jesus to come here and die for us. Please look into your life. Look at your own blend. What does it consist of? Is it still pretty chunky that you can start, you can take things out when you don't want people to see it? Do you even have a blend? Are you still have a sinful nature and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior and truly repented from that sinful nature? You need to start that and start creating your blend. What I would like to do is just end with a word of prayer, and I'd like to have Rachel come up and just play the guitar a little. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Father, You have given us Your perfect gift to make our perfect blends. It's not always, Father, that we want to serve You, but Father, You've filled us with the Holy Spirit, those who have accepted Your Son. Father, I ask the people here just to look inside themselves and see what kind of blend they have. Do they have a blend? If they have a blend, is there still chunks in it that are getting thrown in from worldly stuff that they can start minimizing? Is there such big chunks that they just take out stuff they don't want other people to see? Father, thank You for being here with us. Thank You for sending Your Son Jesus. thank you for the Holy Spirit to live within us when we make that decision. Let us realize what doesn't blend and what does blend, and how to make our blend perfect. For we know that Jesus, He was perfect, and we will never get there. But Father, we can keep trying and make that blend as consistent and as perfect for us as possible. Father, I just pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I would like, keep your heads bowed. Ask yourself, do I need to work on my blend? Do I need to prioritize my blend? Have other things gotten in the way? Is my blender being overfilled with junk that my worship and the study of God's Word and my prayer time is being omitted, or little chunks are being tossed into that? If you're here tonight and you have not started your blend, and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, so that you may start your blend and be filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing that you have that sinful nature, it's your lifestyle, and you would like to change that, I just ask that you just quietly put up your hand and just stay where you're seated. Just put up your hand and acknowledge that you want to change your life. You're feeling that tug on your heart, that you would like Jesus into your life and you would like to start your blend. And also, for those who have started their blend, I'm appealing to you. If you would like to be more consistent with your blend, if you want to start getting rid of some of the big chunks of the worldly stuff, if you want that anything you do, you're going to shine for the Holy Spirit, you're going to shine for Jesus, it's going to be an automatic response. If that's you and it's tugging at your heart, please just put your hand in the air and acknowledge that, God, my blend is not where it needs to be. I want you to help me. I want you to lead me, making my blend better. Praise God. Quite a few people. I just want to pray for those people right now with their hands in the air. May the Holy Spirit start pouring out of you. May your big chunks become the chunks of worship, of prayer, studying God's Word and living by the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that God will continue to give the drive, the heart, and the soul. Reinforce what you believe, that you may be an influence on others. It is such a great reflection upon you now, acknowledging where your blend is. I just pray for you tonight in the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you how awesome you are. Thank you for this time of year that we can reflect upon the birth Jesus and your perfect plan for salvation. We love you. We love you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.